Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Lamed Vav and Aleph. The Gemara here is continuing to discuss the issue that it raised in the Gemara yesterday, which is Ibailuhu Hane Kane Shluchei Didanavu or Shluchei Dishmayo. The Kohanim, who function as liaison between Bnei Israel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is their primary purpose? Is their primary purpose to act as our agents to Hashem? Or is it to act as Hashem's agents to us? And there is a possibility that they are agents on both sides. The nafkamina, as we mentioned yesterday, is regards to a mudar hana'a, which is that someone that is restricted from receiving hana'a from the Kohen, then if he is a representative of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, then it shouldn't matter, because any hana'a that he is gaining is just incidental hana'a, is groma ba'alma, not directed hana'a. On the other hand, if he is a proxy or an ambassador of ours towards Hashem, then when the Kohen functions on behalf of the Baalim, then they're acting as the agent of the Baalim. And by acting as the agent of the Baalim themselves are getting Hana'ah from the Kohen. So that would be the nafkamina between these two positions. Now the Gemara brings a question. Meitiv Rav Shimi Ba'aba. Maya Kohen, if the individual was a Kohen, Yizrok Alav Dam Chatato V'Dam Hashamo. So here you have a braita that says that a Kohen who is Mudar Hana'ah from the Baalim is permitted to be zorek dam for the chatat and dam for the asham of the individual. From here, you would conclude that the kohanim are clearly shluchei derachmana, shluchei deshmaya, because otherwise, how could he do this on behalf of the individual? If he was really a representative of the individual to Hashem, then how could he be makrivis korbanot? Then he would be acting as a proxy for the baalim, and it would be problematic. Now, over here, the rishonim already asked, why did the gemara bring this from a braita? They could have asked this from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah mentions chataot v'ashamot. So why didn't it just ask from the Mishnah about chataot v'ashamot? Why is it bringing a braita? Tosafot over here says, Enochanami. V'odin d'matzi leutuve mimatnitin chataot v'ashamot. Enochanami. The Gemara could have asked straight out from our Mishnah about chataot v'ashamot. On the other hand, the Rosh over here indicates, Hai, d'lo parich le mechataot v'ashamot d'matnitin. Why didn't the Gemara ask from our Mishnah, but rather from the Bright over here? Because in our Mishnah, the context in which the Chataot and Hashemot are found are with other Korbanot that are Mechusirei Kapara. As we noted yesterday, the Mishnah is talking about cases of Mechusirei Kapara, which are different than regular Korbanot or Korbanot that are brought for Kapara. So because of that, the question from the Mishnah is not such a straightforward question, because we explain the Mishnah or the Chataot of the Hashemot of the Mishnah as referencing the Mechusirei Kapara. Over here in the Braita, where there's no such context, then the Chatamot and Hashemot you could easily understand as being regular Chataot and regular Hashemot. The Ran says that there were those that wanted to, based on this Gemara, not be goreis in our Mishnah Chataot v'Hashemot. They wanted to leave that out of the Girsa because of the fact that our Gemara doesn't ask from the Mishnah. But then the Ran says, based on the Rosh, that that's just not the case. Our Mishnah is just not a good way to ask the question, because our Mishnah has the context in which those Chataot and Hashemot are written. And therefore, that's why the Gemara didn't ask from there. The Gemara's answer is, Dam Chatato Shel Mitzora, V'dam Hashemo Shel Mitzora. So the Dam and the Korbanot, Chatat and Hasham that we're speaking about here, are the Chatat and the Hasham of the Mitzora, which are part of the process of the Tarat Mitzora, which is part of his being a Mechusirei Kapara. And once again, we're back to Korbanot that are Mechusirei Kapara. As we noted yesterday, those are permitted for the Kohen to do, because as Rabbi Yochanan told us, we don't ain tzrichim dat balim. We do not require the balim to know about it. We don't require them to be a party to it. And therefore, since the Kohen could basically act on their own on behalf of this individual, then they're not seen as being a shliach or a directive of the individual. So even if the Kohanim were Shluchei Didan, they still would be permitted to perform Korbanot and Mechusirei Kapara. And that's what the Gemara answered in the end here, that we're talking about Mechusirei Kapara. And how do we know that's the case? Zot Tieh Torat HaMitzora. So in yesterday's daf, we talked about Torat HaZav and Torat HaYoledet. So with regards to Torat HaZav, we said that applied both to a Katan and a Gadol. With regards to Yoledet, we said that applies both to a Pikachat and a Shota. Now, we have an additional limud of Torah by Torat HaMitzorah, Ben Gadol, Ben Katan. When it comes to a Mitzorah, Zot Torat HaMitzorah, then has it work out that the Gadol and the Katan are valid in terms of bringing the korbanot, and if a katan can have someone bring a korban on his behalf, that clearly means that there's no requirement of dat balim, as well as the fact that shlichut is not a requirement over here because a katan cannot create shlichut. So now the Torah Mitzvah, they're darshaning the same way that Rabbi Yochanan darshaned Torah Zav and Torah Hayuledet. Tanan, we have a Mishnah that, again, seems to give us indication as to what the answer is here. HaKohanim, shepiglu b'migdash. In the Kohanim, in an instance where they made pigul in the Migdash, mezidin chayavin. They do it intentionally, then they are chayav. HaShogegim piturim, ela shepigulan pigul. When it comes to the fact that they are doing a bishogeg, they are patur, then they're not held accountable in terms of compensation, but the pigul still goes through and is effective. And whether the hashogegim p'turim, elish pigulan pigul is part of the statement over here, if it's the Mishnah, it's clearly not part of the Mishnah. If it's a braita that we're quoting over here, then it's possible that this is referencing a braita that had this part of it included in it. Question is, what is the question of the Gemara over here? As the Ran points out, that the question of the Gemara over here is not from the fact that b'mezidim, that they did it intentionally. Because when they do it intentionally, a person can, even if they are not your proxy, even if they are not your shliach, they can affect the item. So if a person takes a masa, an action, and then affects your item through that action, they're able to create pigul. So the question is not by b'mezid that they're able to do it. The bigger question is by shogeg. By the case of shogeg, where it's an unintentional pigul that they're creating over here, without the permissibility of the baalim, without the shlichut of the baalim, how is it possible that they could make pigul over here? And it's clear that the baalim don't want the pigul to happen. And we'll see that in a second in the Gemara. So that's the way the Ran views the question. The question really revolves around this idea that b'shogeg, they have the capacity to create pigul. And since they have the capacity to create pigul, that indicates something about the Kohanim's ability to act. On the other hand, the Rosh over here says that when the Breito, if you say it's a Breito or the Diuk here that says Elisha Pigulan Pigul, that statement means that it's a Pigul Midoraito. You could have explained this Mishnah or the Breito as saying that the Pigul here is only a Pigul Durabanan. But once the Breito already says Elisha Pigulan Pigul, that's a statement that says that it's not just that it's Xero Durabanan, it's Pigul Midoraito. And they're able to create Pigul Midoraito. If we say that the Kohanim are emissaries of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's how they can make the Pigul over here. On the other hand, if you say that they really are our emissaries, then how are they able to create Pigul over here? I made you into a proxy, an agent on my behalf. And we have a general principle when it comes to agency, which is that the person can say, Lit takune velo lavute. I sent you to do things for my benefit. I didn't send you to do things for my detriment. You're only my proxy. You're only my agent if you're acting on my behalf to my benefit. But if you're acting on my behalf to the detriment, I never appoint you to be an agent in that situation. And so too the Baalim could say over here, the Kohen, if he's acting as an agent of the Baalim, that's only if he acts properly. But if he acts improperly, they're not going to allow him to have that agency. The agency will fall apart. If that's the case, how does the Kohen here make it into Pigul? If that's the case, now we've proven that the Kohanim are Shluchei Dishmaya. Now what's interesting over here is, even if the Kohanim are Shluchei Dishmaya, how is it possible that they can make it into Pigul? Because certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't ask them to make it into Pigul. So don't they abrogate their agency from HaKadosh Baruch Hu when they go ahead and create Pigul? Now, by Mezid, the person has the ability to create Pigul even without the Dat Baalim or even without the Shlichut of the Baalim, because there they're acting intentionally with a Maseh. And with an intentional Maseh, you can even be Oser Davar She'enu Shelo. You can make something Asur even if it doesn't belong to you, because you're taking a specific action. We have it by Avodah Zarah. What you're asking is there really a Maseh by Pigul? The answer is maybe, because first of all, you can have Pigul by Shechita. So you could have it by the Maseh Shechita, you could have Pigul. The other Mishonim say that even though Pigul is Derech Machshava, which is Pigul is a Machshava, having a thought about eating this item Chutz Lizmano, or being Makrivit Chutz Lizmano, that Machshava is deemed to be a Maseh. and it becomes a part and parcel of the maaseh. So that's how they deal with it. But there are others that suggest, like you, that there is no maaseh over here. And since there's no maaseh, then Mezi case is only relevant if it's talking about the shechita or talking about the active part of it. Otherwise, the question also would stem from the side of Mezid, unlike what the Ran says over here. It really depends on how you view the pigul that's happening over. Is it a maaseh or is it a machshava? And about which of the avodot are we discussing? Now, with regards to them being shluchei d'shmaya, the Ran says something over here. Very interesting. He says, "Sherei hivkia Torah korbano mirshut balim unitano lekohen." If we don't require dat balim, and they become shluchei d'shmaya, then in that instance, the korban is given over to the kohen to work with it. And therefore, since it becomes like the kohen's, then he has the ability now to create pigul, even though pigul is not what he's supposed to be doing with it, and it's not what he's supposed to be doing as a shluchei d'shmaya. That's an interesting way to deal with it, as the Rosh says over here, that they gain, because of their agency of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the rights to the Korban are passed from the Balim to them, and in their capacity as a Kohen or as the Balim now, that's how they create the problem over here. So now the Gemara says, Amrei, Shaini Gabi Pigul. By Pigul, it might be different, which means that even if they are Shluchei Didan, nevertheless, we would still say there's a problem. Domakra, the Pasuk says, Lo yechashev lo mikol makom. That the Pasuk over here gives a specific directive that anybody who has a machshava zara over here, anybody who has improper thoughts at this time, has the ability to affect the korban. And since the kohen is granted the right to work with this korban, and in his capacity is working with the korban, and it says, Lo yachashev lo, that no matter what happens over here, it deems the korban to be pasul. And so even though technically they are not shlichim because they are doing it lavute to the detriment of the balim that are sending them, nevertheless they're able to affect the korban because the Torah specifically ascribes to them this power, this ability to create a problem with the korban. And that means that even if they're megel without the reshut of balim, the Korban is Pasul. If that's the case, then we lost our proof that they are Shluchei D'Shmaya, and they could even be Shluchei Didan. And the Gemara now concludes in an inconclusive manner, which is that the Gemara here never tells us whether they are Shluchei D'Shmaya or whether they are Shluchei Didan. Again, as I mentioned yesterday, the Gemara Kiddushin does conclude here, based on the statement of Rav Huna, that they have to be Shluchei D'Shmaya, because we have a principle with regards to agency, that an agent can only carry out something that you could do yourself. If you can't do it yourself, then an agent can't do it on your behalf. And over here, an Yisrael can't do the avoda on the Mikdash. So there's no way that the Kohen could be his shliach if he himself can't perform the avoda in the Mikdash. Based on that, the Gemara there concludes to that, how we deal with our Gemara over here. Either the Gemara over here is relying on the conclusion over there, and we saw yesterday at Daran and the Tosafot, suggested that the Gemara over here is looking for a Tanaic source for the statement of Rav Huna. They know Rav Huna's statement, but now they want to find a Tanaic source, which they are unsuccessful at doing. Still others claim that the question over here is that when we're dealing with a Kohen, if you have a Kohen where the logic of Rav Huna does not apply, because over there the Kohen could have done the avodah himself, and now he makes another Kohen as Shliach, then maybe over there we could say that they are Shluchei Didan, versus Shluchei D'Shmaya, because Rav Huna's din does not apply. Or by Shechita, you could say the same thing. Yisrael is permitted to do Shechita. And therefore, maybe in that avoda of Shechita, we could ask this question of Shluchei Didan versus Shluchei D'Shmaya, because over there, the Yisrael has the ability to actually do that piece of avoda. Therefore, the question comes to the forefront again, because Rav Huna's din is not relevant. And still others suggest over here that the question is whether they are both Shluchei Didan and Shluchei D'Shmaya. Okay, we understand what Rav Huna says, and that makes them definitely Shluchei D'Shmaya, but they still have an aspect of Shluchei Didan over here, because again, the Kohanim sit between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If they sit there, maybe they work on behalf of both parties, not just on behalf of Shmaya. But again, our Gemara leaves it inconclusive, so it's not successful at solving any of those issues, and the only answer that we have is Rav Huna's answer from the Gemara in Kiddushin. Now the Gemara goes back to the statement of Rabbi Yochanan from yesterday, which is Gufa. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Tzrichim Dat, Chutz Mimichusar Kapara. Everybody, when it comes to Korbanot, requires that the Balim be on board, know what's happening, and that they are a party to the Korban that's brought. That is not true by Mechuser Kapara. Sharei Adam Mevi Korban Al Banav Val Banotav Aktanim. An individual is able to bring Korbanot on behalf of his children who are minors, even though they don't have dat, in a sense, because they're Aktanim, and even though they have the ability to appoint him as a Shliach, he's still able to act on their behalf. So that shows you that Mechuserei Kapara do not require dat Balim. The Gemara says, Elamiato, if that's the case, Yavi Adam Chatat Chelev Al Chaveiro. If you're saying here that people do not need dat in order to create korbanot, then why can't an individual bring a chatat on behalf of his friend? Because a person is able to bring on behalf of his wife, who is not of sound mind, he's able to bring a korban on her behalf. Alama, Amar Rabbi Elazar. Well, then why does Rabbi Elazar tell us, Hifrish chatat chelev al chaveiro? Person is mafrish, a korban chatat chelev. Chatat chelev is seen as the generic chatat, a chatat that is brought for a violation of the Isser in the Torah that involves karet v'shogeg. Person brings a chatat for it. Why chatat chelev is used as the paradigm? Some Rishonim explain because it's easy to violate and therefore was the most common type of chatat that was brought. Still others say that it is the chatat that is mentioned in the Torah first in the parsha of the chatat dealing with these issues, and therefore it becomes the paradigmatic type of chatat. But simply, it's just the easiest chatat to understand in terms of alav. It's a very straightforward karet and chatat, and therefore they call it chatat chelev. But it's not that specifically about chatat chelev. It means any chatat that is brought for a chet, if he tries to bring it on behalf of his friend, lo asa klom, you did nothing for him. So the Gemara wants to understand here, we have certain principles that we seem to have established, and since we established these principles, why is it that we can't extrapolate that din to other parts? So now, we started out the fact that he can bring, on behalf of his minor children, korbanot. And now, we also see that a husband is able to bring, on behalf of his wife, a korban, even if she's a shota. So that seems to indicate that you don't need dat balim. If that's the case, then why can't an individual bring a korban chatat on behalf of his friend? If you don't require dat balim, why can't we create the same or simulate the same effect with regards to and in two individuals, one bringing on behalf of the other, even though he doesn't have dat balim? So now, as Tosfot points out over here, Gemara didn't have to ask from Rabbi Elazar himself, they could have asked Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan himself distinguishes between Mechusurei Kapara and the regular Chatat. And we know that from yesterday's daf, that Rabbi Yochanan differentiates in that way. So they could have asked the same question over here. How do you know that there's no chatat that can be brought? Because Rabbi Yochanan himself says you need dat balim there. You don't need dat balim with regards to Mechusurei Kapara. So why did they bring in Rabbi Elazar's din to ask the question? So Tosafot says over here, Yesh Lomar, Metzilin Lememar, that Rabbi Yochanan Mari B'Kohen HaMakriv. That we could have said that Rabbi Yochanan is talking about a case of a Kohen who is doing the Hakrava, Shetzarich dat balim. Then in that instance, we require dat balim. That maybe when the Kohen is functioning, that's where we need dat balim. But with regards to a friend that is doing behalf of this party, maybe over there we would not require dat balim. Maybe even Rabbi Yochanan would agree to this din. That's why he brought Rabbi Elazar in, who specifically states that you cannot bring a chatat chelev on behalf of your friend. So now the Gemara says, okay, you're trying to extrapolate a din, which says that if a husband can deal with his wife, who is not of sound mind, then two parties should be able to deal with each other, even though one doesn't have the acquiescence of the other party. It says, Ishto Shota Hechidami. What's the case of his wife who's not of sound mind? Ida Achla Kashi Shota. If she ate the Chelev while she was not of sound mind, Lavat Korbani. Then she doesn't have to be a Korban, she's an Ones. She has no responsibilities at that time because she's not of sound mind. So she can't be held accountable for her actions. Vida Achla Kashi Pikachat. If she ate it while she was still of sound mind, Vinishtati, then she loses her soundness of mind. Hamar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amar Rabbi Bo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Achal Chelev, and what person ate Chelev? Vifrish Korban. Then he separated a Korban, Vinishtata, and then he lost his mind, Vechazar Vinishtafa, and then afterwards he came back to being of sound mind, Pasol, the Korban is no longer good, Ho Vinitche Yitche, because there was a Dichui in the interim, which is that in the period of time while he was a Shota, in that period of time, he wasn't a Bala Korban, and since he lost basically the connection to the Korban, that Korban now becomes Nidchet, it's pushed down, and he can't be Makriv that Korban. So in that case, what exactly is the scenario or situation in which a husband is bringing a chatat on behalf of his wife who is a shota? So it certainly is not a case where she violated the Isser while she was a shota. And even if she violated the Isser while she was a pikachat and he separated out, but now that she's a shota, then what does that do? The korban that he was mafrish before is nidchet, and now there's nothing to do for this woman. Elamiato. So that's the Gemara's answer, which is, let me tell you, by a woman who's a shota, there is no case of chatat that he's going to bring. Well, since there's no case of chatat over there, then also by chavero, you can't extrapolate to chavero to say that that's the case, because without that belim, it does not work. Or basically, what the Gemara is saying is that we've narrowed the case down to a case of mechusrei kapara. That's where the husband can intervene on behalf of his wife when she's a shota. Chatat chelev, there is no scenario in which the husband's going to bring it on behalf of the wife, on behalf of the woman. So the Gemara then continues and says, well, according to your reasoning, which your reasoning says that by the case of Isha Shota, where the husband technically could have brought a korban on her behalf, but it's EFR, we don't have a scenario where it happens. Nevertheless, you're willing to extrapolate to Chavero and to say that in a case where it's EFR, that you will allow them to do it on behalf of the other party. Because we see from Rabbi Yochanan that he learns out from Ketanim, where it's impossible for them to bring the korban on their own, and we allow the parent to bring on their behalf. And we extrapolate from that to all dinim in mechusrei kapara. And now we just wanted to do the same thing with regards to a woman who's a shota. If it was possible to have a chatat chelev, and the husband is allowed to bring on her behalf a korban, we'd extrapolate from that to other cases where an individual is trying to bring a korban on behalf of his friend. So again, we would allow that extrapolation from efshar to efshar. Then let's look at this case. We have another case here where it's efshar, and we extrapolate from the efshar to efshar, because that's the basic principle that Rabbi Yochanan is giving us. We're willing to extend a din by ktanim to a din in general, even though by ktanim, the reason maybe it's allowed is because there's no other possibility. But even so, Rabbi Yochanan extends that to a broader din. So let's just say the same thing by other cases of korbanot. So then, Elomiata, Yavi Adam Pesach al Chaveiro. The same should be true. Your logic now should be applicable by Korban and Pesach. Shekein Adam Mivi al Banav, Vi al Banutav HaKtanim. Because an individual can bring a Korban Pesach on behalf of his minor children. Alama, Amar Rabbi Lazar. Then why does Rabbi Lazar say, Hifrish Pesach al Chaveiro lo asaklom? The person is Mafrish, or Monet, an individual and a Korban Pesach, without the knowledge, without the acquiescence of the Balim, it doesn't work. You can't just include someone on your Korban Pesach unless you have an agreement with them, or that they have an understanding that you're going to put them in their Korban Pesach. So again, if you're willing to take something from Efshar to Efshar, here I'll give you another case of that. A case by Banav HaKtanim. By Banav HaKtanim, they certainly can't put themselves on a Korban Pesach by themselves. They don't have dat. They don't have the ability to join a Korban Pesach. So it must be done through their father. And if you want to say we're willing to extrapolate from something where it's impossible to something where it is possible, then you should be able to do that by Korban HaPesach. So you should be able to extrapolate in that manner in this instance as well. So then the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Zeiro, se the Beit Avot, lav deoraito. The requirement to have minu yav by Korban HaPesach is not a din deoraito. Se the Beit Avot only applies, and that's the question here, either midrabanan or only in certain instances. Umimai. How do you know that's the case? Midetanan. We have the Mishnah in Psachim. Omer lebanav, areni shochete da Pesach hamishya lemikem rishon Yerushalayim. I'll be shochete the Pesach on the one who gets to Yerushalayim first. Kevin sheichnis rishon roshov rubo zecha b'chelko. Then that person is zochen his portion of the Korban Pesach. Umezaket echav imo. And he's able to then bring along all of his brothers or all of his siblings along with him. V'amart, celebrate the vote, deoraita. If you say the requirement to have been minuyav on the Korban HaPesach, prior to that is a din deoraita, a brisra, koyu, mezakidu, how can it be possible that he's already shechted the Korban HaPesach, that he is now mezakid these individuals in the Korban HaPesach? Minuyim, or to be a party to the Korban HaPesach, is only while it's still alive. Because we have a drosha in the Gemara in Psachim, it's because it says, miyot miseh. And miyot miseh we darshan as michyuta de seh, that when the seh is alive, you can join or leave the Korban HaPesach. Once it's shechted, you can't add parties, and you can't have parties leave the Korban HaPesach at that time. So the father is either mezaket to the first one who gets there, or the first one who gets there is zochenet, and then he's mezaket his brothers and sisters or siblings. This is after Shechita. So how is it here that the father is bringing his children into the Korban HaPesach post Shechita? How does that take place, or how does that happen? It must be that still the Beit Avot is not Doraita. Ella lomalahu, damarlo navlon. If that's the case, then what's the whole point over here? What's this whole game that he has them running up to Yerushalayim, trying to be the ones who are joined onto the Korban HaPesach, if it doesn't really matter, min HaTorah? The answer is, kedei lezarzan b'mitzvot. He wants to train them to be zarizim, have alacrity in the accomplishment of mitzvot, and therefore he makes it into a competition. So see who gets first to Yerushalayim. And the Gemara says, Tanya Rami Hochi, we have a bright that supports that understanding here, because Masayah v'kadmu banot lebanim. There was an incident in which the daughters got there before the son. So there we had an incident where the banot were found to be zrizim, that they accomplished the mitzvah with vigor and got there first, and the boys were a little lazy and they came in behind. So now you're not going to suggest over here that the Braita is saying that the banot got the Korban HaPesach. That's not what it says. It tells you that there's now a description of how we feel about them. The banot are zrizot, and the banim are shvalim. But it doesn't say over there that they were zocha in the Korban HaPesach. So you see this whole ploy, or this whole game here, is a chinuch aspect to make them lezarzan b'mitzvot, in order to encourage them to do the mitzvot with alacrity and to be engaged in the mitzvot, but it's not really to have them being minuyav, to be included on the Korban HaPesach. Now, what happened over here? Seh lebeit avot is a requirement in the Torah. So how is it possible over here that Seh lebeit avot, we say, is not midoraita? So what the Rishonim say over here, you can see it in the Ran and in the Tosafot, says, midah dehavei anashim derishutim. It's no different than women who have permissibility to join into a Korban HaPesach. Sh'afal pi she'en chayavot b'Pesach, even though they're not obligated in the Pesach, mutarot echol mimenu. They are permitted to join and eat from the Korban HaPesach. They're not considered to be parties that are not members of the Korban HaPesach. And the same is true by Ketanim. The Ran extends this a little more and explains that the requirement of Minuyav is only for someone who is subject to Minuyav. That means that a male adult who is under the requirement of Seh lebeit avot to be manui on the Korban HaPesach, then if he's not manui on the Korban HaPesach, he can't participate in the Korban HaPesach. For him, it is a din d'oraita. On the other hand, for Ketanim, who do not have a requirement to join the Korban HaPesach, then they also do not require a minuyav. They don't have a requirement to be joined in the Korban HaPesach in order to eat from it. They can eat from it even without being joined or a member of the Korban HaPesach, because they don't have an obligation to eat the Korban HaPesach. They don't have an obligation of Seh lebeit avot. So what the Ran basically suggests is that Seh lebeit avot has limited application. It has application midoraita to those that are required to bring the Korban HaPesach and to eat from the Korban HaPesach, and that's males over the age of Bar Mitzvah. For women and for children, for women who it's a reshut, and for children it's an issue of chinuch, then they can participate in the Korban HaPesach, even though they weren't parties to the Korban HaPesach, because they're not obligated in the Korban HaPesach. They're not obligated in the Korban HaPesach, they're not obligated then to have minuyim, to have membership in the Korban HaPesach, in order to join it or to eat from it. And then the Rosh over here says, Hilkach lo yaflin on mihocho. We can't extrapolate from the din of Korban HaPesach, because the din of Korban HaPesach by Seh lebeit avot is not a real requirement of Dat Balim. And since it's not a real requirement of Dat Balim, it seems that he thinks that the din is gone the gamre. The Seh lebeit avot is not even applicable at all. So what David asked over here is a problem between our Gemara here and the Gemara in Gittin. Our Gemara over here seems to indicate that the children that are running up to Yerushalayim are Banim Aktanim. These are minors that are going up, and that's why they are outside of the rubric of Seh lebeit avot, because they are minors. The Gemara in Gittin, on the other hand, says that it seems to be that these children are gdolim. They're already of age. They're sumeich al shulchan avihem. They still are dependent on their fathers supplying them or supporting them, but nevertheless, they are gdolim. So then the Gemara in Gittin discusses the issue over here as an issue of breira, which is the ability to retroactively include somebody on a Korban HaPesach. And therefore, the Gemara's discussion over there is very different than the discussion over here, because over there they think they are of age, whereas over here they think they are minors. So the answer that our Gemara gives here is not applicable over there, because if they are of age, then you can't give the answer that Seh lebeit avot is not Doraita. But very definitely, according to the Tosafot and the Ran, who think that Seh lebeit avot doesn't apply to Ktanim, but does apply to Gdolim, then that certainly would not be an answer if the children are classified as Gidolim. The Gemara in Din deals with from a, I would say, a different perspective than the Gemara over here. On the other hand, there's a very, very interesting Tosafot in the Gemara in Psachim on Daf Pechet, where the issue of Sela Beit Avot is discussed. And over there, Tosafot says that Sela Beit Avot is not Doraita, again, seemingly allowing the Ktanim to join in the Korban HaPesach. But he then says that Sela Beit Avot may not be Doraita, but there still may be an Isur for the Katan to participate in the Korban HaPesach, because someone who's not Manui on the Korban HaPesach can't participate in the Korban HaPesach. Even if you say that Sela Beit Avot is not Doraita, who gives the Katan permission to eat from the Korban HaPesach? If he's not obligated in it, then why is he allowed to eat from it at all? So forget about Minuyav. Forget about the fact that you have to be appointed or joined into it beforehand. But the fact that the Katan, number one, is not joined in it beforehand. Number two is that he's not obligated in the Korban HaPesach. How does he eat from the Korban HaPesach? So here, Tosafot and Aran seem to indicate the reason or the permissibility of him to eat from the Korban HaPesach is because he's not subject to Sela Beit Avot. Gemara in Psachim, Tosafot over there on Daf Pechet has a massive Chiddush. He says, no, Ein Ochanami, it's Osir Midoraita for the Katan to participate in the Korban HaPesach. So then how come he's allowed to do it? It says Mitzvah of Chinuch. The Mitzvah of Chinuch allows you to violate the Nisur Doraita. Why? Because Beitin is Mitzuveh to be Mafrish, a Katan from Nevelot and Shvatzim and all these different problematic types of things or Yisurim that he engages in. But that's only true if Safi Lebi Adayim, if we feed it to him directly. But if we don't feed it to him directly, then the Katan can act on his own behalf and won't stop him. Yet, over here by the Korban HaPesach, we're feeding him Korban HaPesach. That seems to be a case where we're feeding him Isur and we're allowing him to eat it. So Tosafot over there says that the restriction against feeding a Katan Isur is only true when there's no value in feeding the Katan the Isur. On the other hand, if there's value in feeding the Katan Isur, like Chinuch b'mitzvot, that's enough of a reason to say that Beit Din is not Mitzuveh l'afrisho, and you can actually feed him the Isur b'diadayim. So Tosafot, it's an unbelievable Tosafot on Pechet, it's Divrei HaMatchil Seh, towards the top of Pechet Amud Aleph in Psachim, says that the Isur remains for the Katan to participate in the Korban HaPesach over here, and the reason that he's allowed to do it, even though it's Isur for him, is because of the dispensation of Chinuch, which means that for Chinuch, you're allowed to violate an Isur d'oraita for a Katan, and be Safi Lebi Adayim. On the other hand here, Tosafot and the Ran seem to indicate that the Sela Beit Avot makes it Mutar l'gamrei. Once Sela Beit Avot does not apply to the Katan, then we allow the Katan then to participate in the Korban HaPesach because he doesn't have required of Minuyav. He doesn't require Minuyav, then his participation or eating of the Korban HaPesach is nothing detrimental. There's nothing wrong with it. So different perspective, but obviously the Nafkamina is huge from what Tosafot says in the Gemara and Psachim, the ability to violate the Surim Deraita in order to accomplish the mitzvah of Chinuch. All right, now the Gemara continues and says, V'torei me'etru motav. The Grach over here actually explains that our Gemara believes that the Beit Avot is not midoraita, which means that there is no obligation of the father to provide for the Katan to be a participant in the Korban HaPesach. And that's why we can't learn out from this Gemara to other cases, because in this case, there's no obligation on the Katan to be a participant in the Korban HaPesach. So we can't extrapolate from that to other instances where there is an obligation to bring the Korban. And therefore, even if you would learn from Efshar to Efshar, it wouldn't be applicable in this case. On the other hand, the Gemara in Psachim is talking about the fact that if a father so chooses, he can have the child join the Korban HaPesach. Which means that even though there's no obligation on the father to have the child join the Korban HaPesach, there is an option for him to do it. So our Gemara is saying it's not an obligation. And the Gemara in Psachim is saying that even though there's no obligation, you do have a right to put him on the Korban because of Sela Beit Avot. That Sela Beit Avot gives you that right to bring the child in, even though the Sela Beit Avot may not obligate you to put your child on the Korban HaPesach. And again, according to all the opinions, if Sela Beit Avot does not meet the right, I mean that the Katan is not obligated to be a participant in this Korban, the fact that the father can't do it, Shelo Midato, or the Katan can participate even without being a Manui on the Korban, either way, you cannot extrapolate from that to other cases where there is an obligation to bring the Korban as to whether you need that balim. Even if you learn out, mi efshar to efshar, this case to be efshar, has another dimension to it, which is the lack of obligation, chatan, to be a participant in the Korban HaPesach. Alright, so now the Gemara says, Toreme Chumotav, which is in the Mishnah, that he's allowed to take off Chuma. Now the Gemara moves on and says, Ibailuhu. A Toreme Mishalo al Shel Chaviro. An individual over here, is Toreme on behalf of his friend, but from his own property, from his own Tvuah. Tzarich Dato Olo. Does he require the Balim to be aware of this? Does he have to have their acquiescence in order to do this? Or maybe not. Mi amrinan, do we say kevin dischutulo, since it is a merit for him, lo tzarich dat, therefore we do not need the other party to acquiesce. So Rashi says, kevin dischutulo, shemarviach, shotorem alav mishalo, lo tzarich leten lo klum. So in the side that it's a schut for him, is that now he doesn't have to expend the money out of his tfuah to pay for the truma. And over here, it's not considered a problem of him providing hana'ah to the other party, because kita achat poter tetakri, it comes to truma, even the smallest amount would qualify as truma and be poter everything. So anything you give in excess of that small amount, midoraita, already is of your own volition or of your own doing, and therefore you're not really providing hana'ah to the owner over here, because he didn't have to give anything. He could give him the smallest amount to be yotze in his truma already. We have a principle of zochim she'adam shelo bifanav, that you have to be zocheh on behalf of an individual, even without his permission or even without his knowing about it. Why? So that is a machloket in the Rishonim as to why zechia works. When you have zachin shadam shalob fanav, does it work mishum yad, because you become an extension of the individual? Or is it mishum shlichut, that you become an agent of the individual? The Balei HaTosafot are very much in favor of the understanding that you are a shliach, and basically becomes an anan tzade. We basically see or understand that the individual appointed you as a proxy because it's to his benefit to have you as a proxy. So even though he technically didn't do it and he didn't even know about it, but because it's for his benefit, we assume that he would appoint you as a shliach and make you into a shliach. How do we know that that's the fact? Tosafot says this is the paradigm from where we learn it all over Shas. He says, Uzchia mitam shlichut, shapir habi shlichuta. The fact that zchia, meriting it for another person or benefiting another person, is because of shlichut. And the fact that we say this throughout Shas, we learn it right out of the Gemara here. Because the Gemara over here says, if we believe that there's a chia over here, then the individual, the party over here, does not require dat balim, and he basically becomes a proxy or a shliach for the individual. Odelma, mitzvah dilehi, or maybe the mitzvah belongs to this individual, and he wants to perform the mitzvah. And the Rosh says over here, he'd rather lose money instead of having someone else clean up or take his mitzvah over here. So that the two sides over here. One side is that he saves money because someone else is giving chuma on his behalf. Another half, there's a mitzvah of taking off chumot. And maybe he wants to do the mitzvah himself, and therefore it's a chov and not a zchut. Even though he will lose money, maybe a person wants to utilize his money. A person likes to spend money in order to accomplish mitzvot. And therefore, he would not in this instance agree that it's a schut. He would think of it as a chuva. So that's the question over here. Toreim mishlo al shal chaveiro. Person is taking off of his own tvua on behalf of his friend. So you would think this is all upside for the other individual. So why shouldn't he be able to do it on his behalf? The answer might be that no, it's not all upside, because there is some downside over here. He's losing the mitzvah, being mafrish, the truma. And as a side effect of that, he also loses the ability to grant it to whichever Kohen he wants. Now, the truth is, that's not really a big loss, because if he really wants to give a gift to the Kohen, he can gift the Kohen any of the Tovah that he just saved that someone else paid on his behalf. So in terms of the Tovah Tana, there's very little that he lost over there, and it would still be considered zchut. The real loss over here is the ability to do the mitzvah of Hafrashat Truma. Gemara says, Tashma, look at our Mishnah. Does our Mishnah say, Toreim et Trumotav et Masrotav ledato? Our Mishnah says that he can take off Shuma and Masar Lidato with the knowledge of the Balabait. B'maya skinan. What is exactly the scenario in our Mishnah? Ilema, if you want to say over here that he's being Mafrish Mishel Balakri, Al Shel Balakri Ulidato. Let's say that Ruvain is restricted in getting Hana'ah from Shimon. And so now Shimon comes along, he goes into Ruvain's Tvua, and he's Mafrish the Truma from the Tvuah of Ruvain, for the benefit of Ruvain. Uledato, diman. Ilim Ledato Delay, if it's based on the Shaliach's own volition that he's doing this, and Ledato means that he knows he's doing this, Man Shavyeh Shaliach. What do you mean? Who appointed him to be a proxy over here? Great that he knows what he's doing. Great that he knows that he's taking off Chuma, but it's not his Tvuah. It's not his stuff to be working with. So what does it matter that he knows that he's taking off the Chuma? Ella, must be that Ledato the Balakri, that he's doing this with the knowledge or the acquiescence of the owner of the Tvuah. Then he is benefiting him because he's carrying out his agency. Now you should know that the Gemara here, we just saw it before with regards to the beginning of the Sukkiyah, with regards to the Kohanim, and the Gemara over here says that if an individual tells someone else to do something on their behalf as a Shliach, the mere fact that the Shliach listens is deemed to be Hana'ah. The fact that he just listens to what you said, even though what he's doing is a mitzvah, and generally we believe mitzvah lav lehenot nitnu, and therefore when he acts as your proxy, really should not be any hana to you. Nevertheless, just the mere listening to you and your directive to make him into a shliach is sufficient to be deemed hana'ah, that you cannot do this if you are mudar hana'ah from him. So over here, if Shimon is being mafrish, the trumot, for Reuven, it's Reuven's tvuah, and he's doing it on behalf of Reuven, but Reuven instructed him to do it. If Shimon then does it based on the acknowledgement of Reuven, or that Reuven appointed him to do it, then he's acting as agent. And if he acts as agent, he's giving him hana'ah. Ella, must be the case of our Mishnah is, Mishalo al shel akri, shel Reuven, or shel balakri. It's a case where he's taking up his own property on behalf of Reuven. So Shimon is mafrish from his own tvuah on behalf of Reuven. Uledato deman. Again, whose knowledge do we have over here? Ilem uledato de balakri. If again, it's with the knowledge of the Reuven, whose tvuah is, hakamahanile. Then once again, he's giving him hana'ah because he's doing his agency. He's going to say, Shimon, can you take off some stuff from your stuff to take care of me? Elalav. What must be the case over here? Uledate dinafshe. He's doing it of his own volition. Umishalo torem alshal chaveron. So Shimon is doing it on behalf of Reuven. The dato means his own dot. He's doing it of his own volition. And he's taking off his own property on behalf of Reuven. And what do you see here? You say that it seems to be that you don't need any dat balim. And it works. So our Mishnah would be a proof or an answer to our question. Do you need dat balim or not? The answer would seemingly be, no, you do not need dat balim in this case. Now, in terms of dat denafshe, when he does this, according to whom is this? The Rashba claims over here that our Mishnah then would be going according to Hanan. Hanan, who we saw had a machloke with the Bnei Kohanim Gdolim with regards to an individual who steps in to support a woman when her husband is away to give her mizonot. Hanan says he loses his money. It's too bad that he did something, he loses his money. On the other hand, the Chachamim over there said no, that he has to make compensation, he has to repay him for that. So now the Rashba says, based on that this Mishnah then is going according to Hanan. That in this case where you spend or expend money on behalf of someone else without their knowledge, then you can't go back and ask them to repay you or to compensate you for that. If that's the case, then you were not mehaneh them. You didn't give them any hana'ah. Oh, the fact that you were mafrish the trumot on their behalf, okay, that's something that is a side benefit or a hana'ah that is through grama, that's not a problem. Now, the Rabbonim believe that's sufficient hana'ah to force you to compensate and make it asur if you're mudur hana'ah. Hanan says that that's too small hana'ah, that's not real hana'ah. And since it's not real hana'ah, therefore, number one, you could do it if you're mudur hana'ah. Number two is you can't demand compensation. So that's the way that the Rashba learns it. The Ran over here disagrees with the Rashba and says that even the Chachamim, even the Bnei Kohanim and Gadolim would agree in this instance because over here it's different. Because you could claim that when Shimon is mafrish the Chumah from his own tvuah, he's doing it for his own benefit. He's doing this to either accomplish a mitzvah, and so therefore he's benefiting from the fact that he's accomplished a mitzvah, or he says it even more strongly, he says, Ikla Meimar, the Toreim Latet Lo Tokwein Shurotzeh Mitkavein. The reason he's mafrish from his own tvuah is because he wants to give this to a specific Kohen. He has a vested interest in seeing this tvuah go to a specific Kohen. So how does he accomplish that? He's mafrish from his own tvuah. By being mafrish from his tvuah, then he directs the gift to this Kohen. And by doing that, he's doing his own volition, he's doing his own reasoning. If that's the case, then there is really no benefit that's coming to the other party. It's all grama. The fact that he doesn't have to be mafrish trumot now is simply a side effect or a derivative of what Shimon is doing over here. But Shimon is doing it for his own benefit. He's not doing it to benefit Reuven. He's doing it because he has personal interests. and making sure that this Kohen gets this, or in doing the mitzvah. If that's the case, then even the Chachamim, or the Bnei Kohanim Gadolim, who argue on Hanan, would agree here that this is not called Hana'ah, and you wouldn't have to compensate in this case. Now, the Gemara continues here, and you can see, Zeranj, that this is what he calls extraneous Lashon, that this Ika Denaschei. There's some that have a Nusach like this in the Gemara, but the Nusach is somewhat unnecessary or extraneous because it basically rehashes everything that we said before, and therefore it seems unnecessary in terms of the repetition, which is V'yamart Tzarich Da'at. If you say in the case where he's doing of his own volition and you require that Balim, then Hakamahanile, then clearly he's being Mahanehim, because if he's doing it on his own, but then you need that Balim, then once you have that Balim, then he's clearly doing it because the other guy asked him to do it, or he's being his proxy, and therefore he's helping out Reuven. Elav, ain't tzarich da'at. But the conclusion must be over here that you do not require da'at in this case. If that's the situation, then it should be permissible. Meaning that our Mishnah now concludes that a person is Torei Mishalo Ashel Chaveiro. He does not require, first of all, the acquiescence of the other party, number one. And number two is, if he does it, he's not Mehaneh the other party. He's not giving Manah. And if he is Mudar Hana'ah from that individual, he can do it on his behalf without any problem. Because as the Rosh explains over here, Mikom Makom, Kevin Shibelo Dato Ayayachola Soto, Lo Mikrei Hana'ah. So despite the fact that it is a schut for him, and it's as if you made him into a shliach, the fact that you don't require dat over here teaches you that it's not called Hana'ah, because there's a direct correlation between dat and Hana'ah, or shlichut. Therefore, if there's no demand for da'at, there's also no possibility of giving this individual hana'ah. So that would be the conclusion from our Mishnah, based on the only way to explain our Mishnah. Now, in this instance, many of the Rishonim ask, what happens to the fact over here that we have a requirement of shlichut? By the shlichut of truma, you need to know that the individual is doing it on your behalf. That when you're mafrish truma, we have this possible which teaches us that just like you are mafish tuma, your shluchim can be mafish tuma. But we also learn from that you have to be aware of the fact that the shliachs do it. If the shliach acts not on your behalf, then he can't be mafish tuma without your acquiescence. But our Gemara seems to conclude over here now that you could. Someone could act not on your behalf or not with your knowledge and still accomplish the separation of the Truma based on what they are learning from our Mishnah. So what you have to answer over here is that might be that requirement is only in the case when you're mafrish from Reuven's produce. But when you're mafrish from Shimon's produce, when it's not coming from his own produce, maybe over there you don't need that Balim, and maybe you don't even need the Balim to be aware that requirement of Atem Gam Atem does not apply over here. Gemara says, La'olam, Mishel Balakri, Al Balakri. Gemara retracts this and says that the case in our Mishnah is a case where they're being mafrish from Reuven's produce on behalf of Reuven. But then, how is Shimon doing this? Because then he's going to need that Valim. He's going to require Reuven to say that it's okay. If he does that, Reuven's making him into a shliach. And if Reuven makes him into a shliach, then he's kamahanile. He's giving mana. Kedamarabah, bomer, kolorotzeli trom, yavo vitrom. The case where he says, anybody who wants to come and take off truma, he can go ahead and take off truma. So he doesn't give a directive to Shimon to do it, but he basically opens up the possibility of someone else taking off Truma, and he'll be okay with that. Hachanami, so too in our case, that will be the case. Now the Gemara is going to get us the case where Rav originally said it, and then we'll go back and explain what's happening over here. Baimine Rabbi Yirmei Rabbi Zeira, Torei Mishalo Ashel Chaveiro, Tovat Hana'ah Ashel Mi. In an instance where a person takes off Truma on behalf of his friend from his own produce, Tovat Hana'ah Ashel Mi, who has the right of distribution at this point? Who has the right to determine which Kohen gets the Truma that was taken off? Mi Amrinan, do we say, Ilav Peire Deheach, Mi Mitakna Kario Dehau? If it wasn't for the Truma that is coming out of Shimon's property, then the produce that Reuven has would never be Ois Tevel. He wouldn't be able to remove the Shem Tevel, and it wouldn't be Peirot Mitukanim. Odilma, Ilav Kario Dehau, if it wasn't for the produce of Reuven that was Tevel, then the produce of Shimon would never become Truma, because you can only make something Truma if there's Tevel somewhere that allows this object now to become Truma and leave behind a residual that is now perot mitukanim. So really the question of the Gemara here, which is, what is the ikar part of hafashat tuma? Is the ikar part of hafashat tuma the matir, the residual produce, or is the ikar part of hafashat tuma is being mekadesh the tuma itself? Well, depending on which side you focus on, that would also give more importance to one of the two parties over here. Because the one left with the perot mutukanim is Ruvain, the balakri, and the one who is mekadesh the tuma and left with the tuma is Shimon. So what if you think that the ikar part of tuma is being mekadesh the tuma, then Shimon should have the right or the tovat hana'ah to give it to which kohen that he so chooses. On the other hand, if the focus is on being matir, the residual perot, then the one who has the perot mutukanim or the residual perot is Ruvain over here. And therefore, he's the one who should have the tovat hana'ah, the right to grant it to whomever he so chooses. Now, tovat hana'ah, in general, is the ability of a person to, for instance here, for a nominal amount, or a value, or some sort of positive feeling, grant something to another party. So in general, when you have matnot kuhuna that come out of your property or your possessions, you have the option or the ability to give it to whichever kohen you so choose. That's called tovat hana'ah. And sometimes you actually could get some small remuneration for it, which is, if you have an individual who has a grandson who is a Kohen, then Israel can come in and pay another Israel to give this to a Kohen. A Kohen himself can't do it because that is the problem of a Kohen being Machzir in the Granot and paying to get his Truma, which is impermissible. On the other hand, if it's Israel doing it on behalf of his, let's say, grandson, his daughter married a Kohen, and now he has a grandson who's a Kohen, he can go in and pay for it. And he can actually, so that small amount of money is what's called the Tovat Hana'ah over here. And our question is, who does that tovat hana'ah belong to in this instance? So the Gemara says, Amalei Amakra. The pasuk tells us what it is. It says, by, and here it's not clear which pasuk the Gemara is quoting. You can see over here in the Gemara itself, we have one pasuk that's brought from Parshat Re'eh, that you're familiar with, Aseret Aseret, called Tovat Zarecha Yotzeh Sadeh Shana Shana. So there we're talking about Masrot. And then later on in the Parshat it says, Venatata. Over there, it's really talking about Maisur Shenit, Venatata Kesef, and that Venatata seems to be that the Tvuat Zarecha. It's modifying the Tvuat Zarecha. So Aseret Tvuat Aseret called Tvuat Zarecha. That Tvuat Zarecha Venatata. You have the right to give it. So based on that, the one who has the Tvuat Zarecha, which is the Balakri, the one whose perot are left over as Mtukanim afterwards, he has the right of Nitina. That's what the pasuk is telling us. That's one possibility as to the source. The other possibility of the source is the Vidui Maser, which is found in Parshat Kitabo, that over there it says, Ki techalel aseret kol masar tvuatcha b'shana shlishit, shnata maser v'natata. So over there, v'natata is modifying tvuatcha, your tvua. Your tvua is what's left over. And then it says v'natata. So then again, the focus on your tvua means that the Balakri has the right to grant the maser, the tovat hana'ah. So he says, whether it's from that pasuk in Parshat Re'eh, whether it's the pasuk in Parshat Kitavo, again, the pasuk in Parshat Ki Tovo seems to make more sense only because there it's talking about more than just Maaser Sheni. But in either instance, the focus on Tvuat Zarecha or Tvuatcha and then Venatata means that the one with the Tvua or the Balakri is the one the right to give it. Is that really true? What about our Mishnah? Toim et Shumotav et Masrotav ledato. V'yamar Tvuat Hana'ah the Balakri. If you say that the right of granting that is for the Balakri, Hakamahanile. You set up for Mishnah before as a case where it's this case of Toreim, Mishaloa Shal Chaveiro. And now you're telling me that the right of gifting belongs to Ruvain or the Balakri. If that's the case, then Shimon was actually benefiting Ruvain. Because Shimon is now being mafrish all the Tumot Masrot from his own Tavuah, from his own possessions. But then Ruvain is granted the right to determine who it goes to. That means that now Shimon is granting a right or Hana'ah to Ruvain. It must be then that the right of gifting belongs to the person who's mafrish, the person who's taking off the truma over here, and that would be Shimon on our instance. Amre, look, Mishal Balakri, Ashal Balakri. No, the case in our Mishnah is not a case where it's Mishalo, Ashal Chaveiro, but rather it's a case where Ruvain is actually having the trumot taken off his own property, and Shimon is doing it on his behalf. Uladato de Balakri. And it's in a case where the owner, Ruvain, knows about it. Well, we know if he knows about it and he appoints Shimon as a shliach, Shimon doing his agency is a problem of hana'ah. So, but Omer, kol rotzeli trom, yavovi trom. So that's the answer. The answer here is a case where Ruvain, the balabait, said, whoever comes along and takes off Shuma it will be good as truma. And since he makes that statement, now he opens up the possibility of someone coming along and being mafrish the trumot, but not acting as a direct proxy or agent of him. He is an agent, but not an agent in a directed manner. And that's what the Ron explains over here, that actually there are three different ways that a person could express this, and the different ways that he expresses it will actually have different results over here, which is based on the Gemara in Kittin. He says, if anybody speaks up and says, Kola Shomea Koli Yitrom, anybody who hears my voice should go ahead and be Mafrish Truma, that is considered to be real Shlichut. And if someone then goes and acts on your behalf, then they are acting as your Shliach, as your agent, because basically they are saying over here, I'm directing whoever hears me to go ahead and do this. And by Gitin, if someone hears that, they go ahead and write a get to his wife, or whatever instructions that he's giving, a person who hears them then becomes the agent or the proxy for this individual. So in that case, if he had said, Kola Shomei Oli Yitrom, that would work only if he was not Mudar Hana'ah, because he's really making him into a full-fledged Shliach in that case. But in our case here, like our Mishnah, where he's Mudar Hana'ah, that would not work. On the other hand, you have another extreme, which is, Kola Toreim Eino Mafsid. Whoever takes off Chuma will not lose. That's a Lashon that is used in the Gemara in Shabbat, with regards to when a person's house is on fire, he can say, Kola Mechabe Eino Mafsid. Anybody who extinguishes the fire will not lose. That's not considered as if he appointed the goy or he's telling the goy to put out the fire. He's just basically making a statement. He says, look, anybody who puts out the fire is not going to lose. You make your choice. If you want to take that up, if you want to do that, then that's fine. So if he made such a statement over here, which is, Kol Tareim, Enu Mafsid, anyone who takes off Truma from me will not lose out, that actually will not work at all. The reason it won't work at all is because, you're right, in terms of getting Hana from him, there's no problem with Hana because you're not giving a directive. But it's such a weak directive that he can't even make him a shliach in order to be mafrish trumot. Because we said before that in order for you to have the trumot be mafrash, it has to be a case of dat balim, that the balim have to really basically know about it, and they have to, in a sense, appoint you to be the shliach. But if they appoint you fully to be a shliach, then it's not going to work because he's mudar hana'ah. So in the case where you just say, kol tereim eino mafsid, the Ran says over here, efshar tafilu gabi truma lo mahani. Even for Truma, it won't work. The lav lishtema al yehu, kishiavo v'yitrom. When he comes and then takes off the Truma, it's not strong enough to make this individual into a shliach. But the case here, which is the case of our Gemara, is the case of a language that sits right in the middle. And that is, kol harotzeh l'yitrom, yavo v'yitrom. It's a language, as the Ran says, that is strong enough to make the individual as if he is a proxy for the Baal HaBayit in being mafrish Truma. And therefore, he can be mafrish truma over here as if he has the permission of the balim. On the other hand, it's not a strong enough language that makes it asur behana'ah, or makes it that if a person's mudar hana'ah, that he cannot act in this case. And that is because he's basically using this in-between language. As Ron calls it, da lishna mitzi'al tohava. This is like a middle-of-the-road type of lashon. And therefore, it is strong enough in order to make him a shliach the gabe the truma, but it's not strong enough to make it a problem if he is mudar hana'ah from this individual. The Re in the Tosafot over here has a slightly different view of this. And he says over here that Ela Mishum Dekeven to be Chuma Tzarich Dat. Since by Chuma you need Dat, Havi Kamo Shlucho, Demetzeveu Lech Vitrom. As if he's commanding him to go out and do the Chuma be Mafrish the Chuma, which is from the Lashon of Kol Asher Rotzeh Litrom Yitrom. Anybody who wants to go ahead and be mafrish the truma can be mafrish the truma. So in a sense, he makes him into a proxy or agent. But since the rabbonon removed the shame shlichut from this individual in this instance, it's as if there is no hana'ah or problem of being mudar hana'ah in this instance. And that's why it works over here. Now Tosfot also says that this is distinct or distinguished from the other cases, like the case of Aveda or the case of Shokel Shiklo. Because by those cases, he's just doing the mitzvah. But over here, truma has an additional aspect to it, which is, Shema yish tomar v'toreim truma, tadavar taloi b'shlichut. Den yachol yitrom below dato. The person can't take off the truma without the dat balim. So there's an additional aspect, or part of shlichut, or yerushach b'shlichutei, ka'avit tvei me'aveda. Therefore, he's doing more by the case where the person's returning the aveda to the other party. So you see over here that there's slightly different aspect to being mafrish trumot. By mafrish trumot, because of the requirement of dat balim, that somehow intensifies the relationship between the two parties. And in doing so, it makes it that when Shimon acts on behalf of Reuven over here, there's a strong possibility that there should be a problem of being Mudar Hana over here. And that's why the Gemara is grappling with the fact that he's doing a mitzvah, but there's still this aspect of Shlichut that is involved over here. And that's the tension inside the Gemara. By Aveda, you don't have that. By Aveda, it's simply doing the mitzvah, returning, or the Shavat Aveda. You don't need anybody's permission, you don't need that Balim, and you're clearly not a Shliach of the Baal. So because of that, there's no question there with mitzvah ka'ovid that we think it's totally fine. But over here, even though mitzvah ka'ovid is doing a mitzvah in the context of a requirement of dat balim, which is like shlichut. And so because of that, we have to come up with this language, as the Ran says, mitziato, this middle road type of language, which allows one to, in a sense, create the shlichut, but without creating the isur of mudar hana'a. So Tashma, the Gemara says, Adam Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yochanan, let us come to a conclusion about this as to who's right the Tovat Hana'a is over here. Because now that we've reread our Mishnah to be a case, we're talking about Shimon being Mafrish Truma from Reuven's Tvua on Reuven's Tvua, then we have no proof from our Mishnah. But rather we have this proof from the statement of Rabbi Yochanan Makdish Mosif Chomesh. The person who is Makdish, an object, even if he does it on behalf of someone else, if it comes to Pidyon, the redemption of that object, the Makdish has to add on an additional Chomesh, which is a Chomesh Milabar, which is equivalent to 25% Milagav, means that 1.25% when you redeem an object that you were Makdish, then you have to add on that additional amount in order to redeem it. That's only true of the Balim. Who were determined to be the Balim when it comes to Hekdesh? The person who was Makdish. On the other hand, Mitkaper Osech Tmura. The individual has the rights. In a sense, it's a negative, right? But the ability to make tmura, to swap out an animal for another animal, and then who tmura toye kodesh, that both the original animal and the new animal are kodesh, and he might even get the malkot for that, that is mitkaper, the one who's getting the kapara from the animal. The Gemara and Tmura discusses why. Some learn it out from sukim, some learn it out from a logic. As to the fact that only a yachid can create tmura, and if we didn't have this din, it would be otherwise. But what you see here is that the mitkaper, the one who's getting the kapara, so even if someone else bought the animal, was makdish the animal, the one who's getting the kapara is the one who has the ability to effectuate the tmura. And an individual who is mafrish trumot on behalf of someone else's tvu'ah, tovatana shelo, he has the right of distribution, he can give it to whoever he chooses, to whichever kohen he chooses. And there we hear the conclusion that the Tovanatana belongs to the individual who is Mafrish on behalf of his friend. So that right to give it to the Kohen or receive compensation to give it to a particular Kohen belongs to the individual who is Mafrish of his own Tvua on behalf of the other party. And that is the answer to our question that was posed over here.
Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Bet.